This is a special presentation of WSIU and the Radio Players.
Hints of robot domination run rampant these days, with AI fixtures replacing human positions more and more every day. Where will neural network domination end is a frightening thought. Perhaps even more intriguing is the question, where will it begin? Tonight's episode seeks to answer just such a question. Lend an ear and hold the phone as the Radio Players strive to provide a vision of the future. Let's meet the cast.
My name is Christopher Thundy, and I'll be the narrator.
I'm Eric Billingsley. I'll be the industrial voice and the phonobot.
I'm Kevin Rathundi, and I will be Leon.
I'm Elizabeth Donahue, and I'll be Claire.
I'm Steve Falcone. I will be Ralph.
I'm Peg Falcone. I'll be Frida.
Phonophobia, a radio play by Steve Falcone. Scene one. We journey tonight to a land that's familiar in a time not so far away. Streets crowded with folks staring into their phones. Every single one. All screens illuminate at once. Eyes blink. Await instruction.
All personnel, repair to workstation number 56 at once. Cargo from Spokane ready to offload. Evening feed follows in terminal number 14. Labor card must be stamped to gain admittance. Repeat, labor card must be stamped. All sector number 12 personnel report to workstation number 56 at once. Clock starts at 1400 hours. Repeat, clock starts at 1400 hours.
Most of the folk begin to move in the same direction, heeding the command of phone, the leader, the master. To be late would be folly, disaster, cause to be demoted to utility line to await for supplemental workers to be called. No pay or accompanying benefits to be had until reinstated. Long, hungry days ahead for that worker and family. The rules of phone are strictly observed. Or else, welcome to phonophobia. Scene two. Leon, a lean, weathered fellow, sits opposite Claire, a petite female of shapely figure, even through the baggy gray jumpsuit. Labor has thinned her face to have cheekbones emerge into a striking countenance. Hunger and hard work are not beauty treatments often sought. Fingers whiz at mercurial speed on either side of the table.
All may raise faces at this time for 5-minute allotment. Begin on the signal.
A high, screechy siren wails.
You look lovely.
Must you always waste time with vapid compliments?
What have you done with your hair?
Kept it, which is more than you're doing at this rate.
Me? I'm just a bloke trying to woo a girl in an extremely tight time window.
When you should be plotting revolution.
Why?
Why? For freedom, for justice, for human rights.
How many close friends have we seen evaporate attempting a coup?
They should inspire, not discourage us.
Resistance is useless.
Such speech defeats us before we begin. Follow those who've gone before.
Into thin air?
When did you begin to view life as a lost cause?
When my brother, Carl, disappeared. Brave beyond reason. For nothing.
She takes Leon's hands.
It was horrible. Of course. But he'd do it again in a heartbeat, and you know it.
All I know is his heart beats no more.
She drops his hands.
It's like I don't even recognize you anymore.
We don't get enough FaceTime these days.
What? It's all a big joke to you?
Cease FaceTime!
Leon immediately looks down as Claire sticks her tongue out. Scene three. The scene opens much like the first. Hordes of people trudging along, a throng in lockstep to the pulse of the phone in hand. All but Ralph, a small man who slips around a corner to an empty block where he desperately seeks a vacant space and finds it. A graffiti-ridden old building. One of the last of its kind, several stories high, which suggests a cellar below. True aim of this meandering citizen. With stealth, he slips soundlessly into the battered basement, his signal growing fainter and fainter, even as his smile increases. Safe in here? He sits among the wreckage about him and draws a deep breath.
Peace at last.
His phone but a flicker.
Hardly a bar to be had. Oh, to lay my head down to a quiet nap. Not a blip nor a bleep. Total silence. Sweet float into serenity.
Citizen respond. Receiver down. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Kaboom!
In a flash of bright light and a blam of explosion, Ralph is no more. Gone to the tranquility he sought. Eternally. Scene 4. Claire and Leon are again at their lunch table, obediently staring into their phones.
Your 5 minutes of face time begins now, citizens.
Siren wails and workers face one another.
No happy face today? No frivolous compliment? If I were a flighty female, I might almost feel hurt by your lack of drippy sentiment.
Leon does not respond.
What is it?
Ralph, of course. He was always so energetic, so positive. A dreamer who ended up where all dreamers do.
He was a hero. A brave man willing to stake everything on a chance for a better life.
Not as I knew him, Claire. He was a scared little man who didn't know which way to run. The wrong way, as it turns out.
You simply can't tell loss from splendid gesture. Leave sadness in the past. Gaze ahead to the heroics of the future. It's said that Fred, the electrician, has a master plan to disable all the phones.
Leon is about to exclaim as Claire covers his mouth with her hand.
One wrong word is death to thousands in this gigantic plan. We must proceed with caution. Silence is our motto, cunning our method. At 1700 hours, we must all quickly set our phone watches to the precise hour, minute, and second. All settings must be to the microsecond. The signal will be given by 2 beeps from your phone.
Leon checks the time.
But we're minutes away from 1700 hours.
Prepare for synchronization. The timing must be collectively exact.
Leon stares.
3, 2, 1.
A giant pop, a massive flash of light, and all the phones go dark, inert. No light from the screens. No buzz or click from the dormant devices, only silence to be heard. The room is mute. Row upon row of citizens staring at their watches, too stunned or scared to move. Revolution is at hand, if anyone is man enough to start it. A woman, of course, as Claire springs up and shouts,
"What are we waiting for? Freedom is at hand! We've only to reach out and grab it! Who's with me?"
Not a peep.
Is there not a shred of backbone left among you?
Still nothing.
Fine. I'll go alone if I have to.
She starts away and stares at Leon.
Coming?
Of course. I gotta...
Claire shakes her head and heads out at a crisp pace as Leon fumbles to catch up. The rest stare. Seeing no laser bolts, a few slowly rise and all but tiptoe out. Not many. Most are left in that spot they're meant to be at this time, at a loss for their orders. Scene 5. Fred the electrician had pulled off the unthinkable, knocking phone off its technological throne. Inexplicably, he had managed to sink units of power to combat a massive source that was in control. Precisely how he achieved such a feat, only a techno wizard can say. Suffice it to say, Claire's gumption and Leon's yearning find them in a rundown cafe in the shady side of town. Nobody being present in the establishment, Claire has begun to make coffee as Leon sniffs around for pastries.
We're out of the woods for now, not for long.
Leon stops mid-bite of a jelly donut.
What do you mean?
Fred's plan! While brilliant, it's temporary at best. Phone will be out in force with tactics and tech in no time. You can take that to the bank.
I'd rather take flight to another planet. This one is in the hands of evil.
As there are no shuttles bound for other worlds at present, we're stuck with the shambles at hand. A force for resistance must be formed with all haste.
You can't be serious. Where on earth can we find troops bold enough to face a foe of Phone's caliber? Most of our people are cowards, like me.
True.
She paces.
We must find a way to spur them into action.
Spurs might do the job. Otherwise, they'll wander aimlessly about in search of a leader.
Oh, when did our people lose all their pride, integrity as free people?
Fear is a great motivator. It can tighten a leash that's damn near impossible to get loose.
What of Ralph and Fred?
Eating another donut.
Well, these are the heroes of the species. And as such, destined to be leaders when needed in times of trouble.
He finishes off that donut and looks for another.
Are there donuts?
Jelly? Cream? I think this last one's lemon. Would you like it?
Not sure. Okay, maybe I'll...
Leanna's already downed it in a gulp.
Oh, sorry. Did you,
Doesn't matter. I'm trying to hold back.
It was lemon.
Right.
In harsh times like these, species heroes step up where others won't. If a people are fortunate, they have more than one leader type. We are the lucky people. We have you.
Me?
She shakes her head.
No.
Of course you. Who else? First to rise up and declare us free when the phones died? Lone voice in a sea of silence. Well, that's the stuff of leaders.
I acted without thinking. It was natural instinct.
Yeah, natural to a leader. A brave heart. Well, the rest of us kept mute, praying that no one would even notice us. Very few have the daring you exhibited. We need you to lead us.
Screech of a siren shatters the air as a laser beam smashes the glass window, blowing the table next to Claire to splinters.
Exit the building immediately. Hands above your head and prostrate yourself on the ground.
Follow me.
She hops behind the service counter as Leon hops after her.
Just like a leader.
Scene 6. Claire and Leon are pinned down by laser beams ripping into the cafe counter and tearing it to pieces.
Well, could be kind of cozy under different circumstances.
You're either wildly romantic or bug nutty. Possibly both.
What now, Chief?
Laser shreds a hunk of counter.
As I can't simply wade into their laser beams, I've got no plan at my fingertips.
She pauses, views silverware. With a crash, a phonobot has broken through the locked door, beam lasing from the eye in the middle of a high-entropy alloy of chromium, cobalt, and nickel. Not much could penetrate that dome.
Resistance is futile.
Don't I know it?
Ah, but is it?
You were given a chance to plead for mercy. Your existence is now forfeit.
As the bot trains its eye on the couple, Claire makes her move. Grabbing up a fork from the silverware tray, she leaps the counter in a bound and thrusts the cutlery into the bot eye, just ahead of its discharge. Careful to let go of her weapon. Sounds in the bot's eye just before a massive explosion sends bot body parts everywhere. Another explosion is heard on the street, then silence.
As I suspected. Electrically connected. Good riddance to evil forces.
Awesome fork work, Wonder Woman. Lousy table manners, but still.
Saved by my boarding house reach.
What's for lunch?
Scene 7. Claire and Leon swing down the main street, surprisingly loose for folk on the run. Suddenly, Claire takes Leon's hand and swings it, much like a happy couple in love. Surprised and elated, Leon kisses her hand, his eyes full of question.
Might as well be your pretend girlfriend, as the end is all about us.
Damn decent of you, sweetheart.
He leans in to kiss her.
Let's keep a rein on our pretend emotions, step by step, my dear.
You must be the keeper of rules. I have no manual.
As in all things, follow my lead.
Leon puts an arm around Claire's waist.
Nice.
Leon tries to lay his head on Claire's shoulder as she pulls away.
Too much. We must keep our minds on the mission, wherever that leads us.
The roar of a cyber cruiser booms around the corner, lasers blazing straight at the fake couple. Leon pulling Claire out of the street just as the cyber cruiser roars by, tearing up the road with laser beams.
This way, I believe.
Literally falling into a nearby storefront. Claire and Leon look up to see half a room full of people, familiar faces all staring in mute anticipation. A screech and massive explosion turn all those faces to smiles as a chunky woman pumps a muscular arm in the air.
Die, phono swine.
Aren't you
Fred's mate? He taught me much. Above all, wire to wire's the key. Electrically across the road. We welcome our leader among us.
Oh,
you were all statues last I saw you, muted by fear, frozen in place. What brought you to life?
You did, leader, with your fearless actions. Aware of your bravery, we were ashamed and moved to try to save ourselves. Fred was my inspiration.
Yeah, Fred.
Gently, rebels. We're not alone.
Let them come. I've oceans of anger to shower upon
them.
Yes! Those photo fascists.
Scene 8. Claire and Leon walk hand in hand down a darkening street as zzz of laser fire flares around them.
This madness is far from over.
You think it might end one day?
Not in our lifetime.
He kisses her hand.
Well, at least we have each other.
This is definitely over. I can't keep pretending.
Oh, I can. I've learned so much from our fake love. I'll never stop adoring you, sweetheart.
He puckers his lips and kisses air.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Oh, another? Of course, my love. Endless kisses for the girl of my dreams.
Stop, please. I beg you.
A dance? Certainly, sugar lump. Why, my feet are at your command.
He sways in the air.
You idiot.
Shall I dip you? Would you like that?
Enough. I can bear no more of this nonsense.
She slips into Leon's arms and they dance. She suddenly kisses him.
Remember, this is all make-believe.
I always believed it was.
They dance.
You've been listening to Phonophobia, an original production written by Steve Falcone and performed by the Radio Players. This production was recorded live in the WSIU radio studios. Post-production sound designed by Hadis Coopwood. Listener support is what makes WSIU's support of the local arts possible. We are powered by you.